chapter 2. There are believers who God has truly saved, but who do not realize that they have assurance. Now understand what I said there. There are sinners who've been truly saved by God, but they don't realize that they have assurance. That's not how we think of assurance, I know. We think assurance of being sure and certain in my heart, I know. They have assurance, but they don't know they have assurance. But according to the Scriptures, believers can have assurance. And we should know the assurance of our salvation. We ought to seek it. Job knew he had assurance. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He said, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. He had assurance. And Paul had assurance. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's assurance. The Apostle John had assurance. And just like Paul, he wanted those that he preached to have assurance. He said this, John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. That you may know that you have eternal life. That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. One of the main problems of the believer who doesn't know that he has assurance is where he's looking for assurance. That's one of the main problems, where they're looking for assurance. We don't ever want to look for assurance by looking at our past experiences. People like to look back to when they made some profession in religion or something like that. That's not assurance. That's not assurance. We shouldn't be looking to our religious works, to baptism or to church membership or to how you attend church services or something like that. That's not what's going to give us assurance. That's the wrong place to look. Even if we start looking to ourselves to see our fruits, and to see how much we love our brethren. John talks about being able to see fruits and to see the love that we're given by the Spirit of God toward brethren. But where you're going to see that is, you're going to see that in your brethren. You're going to see that God working that in your brethren toward you. But when you start looking at how much you love somebody and trying to find assurance by how much you love and about the fruits in you, that's a good way to become very disappointed and to not have any assurance, looking at yourself. The problem is where they look. We should seek assurance, but we won't ever have it if we're looking in the wrong place. We won't have it if we're looking in the wrong place. I want to go through three scriptures. I'm not going to do them all three today. I'm going to go over the next couple of services, I'll go over these three scriptures, and they all speak about full assurance, having full assurance. We're going to take this one verse today and look at what Paul said all around it, and get the context and see where this assurance is. Let's begin reading in Colossians 2 and verse 1. It's called the full assurance of understanding. The full assurance of understanding. Colossians 2, 1. I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches, here's where these riches are, of the full assurance of understanding. To the acknowledgement, to the open acknowledgement and confession of the mystery of God. The full assurance of the understanding of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now here's the first thing. Where's this full assurance found? This full assurance of understanding, where is it found? He says it's in the mystery. It's in the mystery. The mystery is the gospel. It's the gospel. The full assurance of understanding, if we're going to have it, where we want to look is we want to look into the gospel. We want to hear the gospel of God our Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're going to have the assurance and find this full assurance of understanding. Paul said, I want you to have it. I want you to have the full assurance of understanding of the gospel of God, of the Father and of His Son, Christ Jesus. Look back up in Colossians 1 and verse 23. He says there that the Lord Jesus is going to present His people holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. That's what assurance does. It grounds you and it settles you. Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. See, he's talking about the gospel. From the hope of the gospel, which you've heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The full understanding, the full assurance of understanding is through the preaching of the gospel. He said, which you've heard, which was preached, whereof I made a minister. Now, it's not just any preaching. It's a preaching where you hear Christ preached, where you hear God preached, where you hear the works of God declared. We're not going to find assurance, brethren, if we have somebody telling us to look to our works and pointing us to our works for righteousness and for sanctification and for things that we're doing to try to give ourselves assurance. Where you find assurance is looking at somebody else that's done the works. And that's looking at God. Paul's labor, his conflict was, and why he traveled and preached and labored and prayed and sought a message from God, was that folks would have the full assurance of understanding. I know what that's like. Because you labor, you hear people talk about wanting assurance and they don't have assurance, and you labor and you try to find a message to give them assurance. Here's where it's going to be found, what you're doing right now. You're sitting here hearing the gospel. And the folks who don't have the assurance, guess where they'll be? They won't be hearing the gospel. How are you going to have it if you don't look where it's to be found? It's to be found in the Word. So the first thing we're going to have to do is seek assurance. Not by looking at our attendance, not by looking at the fact we went to hear, but actually coming with an open ear, trying to hear the Word, listening, looking up the Scriptures, hearing the gospel. That's where you're going to find this full assurance of understanding. All right, then notice this. He called the gospel a mystery. He said it was a mystery. And the reason he calls it a mystery is because it's been hidden. God has hidden it for ages. He's hidden it. And He's hidden it from generations. That means from generations of people. From the wise and the prudent. The man who comes to God thinking he's wise and he knows all about God and you can't teach him anything. He's prudent. He's done all his studying, got all his system of doctrine down, and he knows everything there is to know. That man's not going to be taught anything. God speaks of coming to him like a little child. Not coming opposing, not coming disputing, not coming to just to listen so we can rebut what was said and come back with what we're thinking of the whole time that we're sitting there listening. It's to come and listen to what God says. You see, it's hidden by God. And if it's going to be revealed, it's going to have to be revealed by God. Look up there, Colossians 1:26. He says, he's speaking there of the gospel, he says, this is the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations. The ages there means it's been hidden over time, a long time. And the generations means generations of folks, people. God's hidden it. But now it's made manifest to who? To those God sanctified. To those He's given a heart to believe. To those He's called. That's who the saints are. It's manifest to His saints. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. You remember when the Lord Jesus went, He was talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were religious folks. And John came preaching to them. And they said, oh, he's eccentric. He's out there in the wilderness. You don't want him to go listen to that man. Christ came there walking amongst them, dressed normally, preaching amongst them. And he said, you're like children playing in the marketplace. We pipe to you. You won't dance. We mourn. You won't cry. There's no response from you. They knew everything. And Christ, walking along, said, Father, I thank you. Thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Come to God like a baby. Come to God like a child. Come to God open and ready to understand and to hear and to receive the Word. Come to God that way. He'll have to make you that way. But come to Him. Come, just approach the Word like you've never heard the truth. You don't understand the truth. And be honest and come to God and say, I want to be taught of God. You got to go to where full assurance of understanding can be found. And God is the one who reveals it. So He says, come to me. Come to God. All right, here, Lil. Now look at this next thing. Notice this. Notice that the gospel is not a what. The gospel's a whom. Look there, Colossians 1:27. He spoke there of the hope of the gospel. And at the end of verse 27, he says, and that hope is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That means a couple of things. That means where the gospel's preached, where Christ has sent it, where He sent His preacher to preach, Christ is in your midst preaching the gospel. That's who's going to make the Word effectual. Christ, through the Spirit of God, is going to make it effectual. And it also means Christ enters into the heart of His people. And He's actually in His people. And that's where we have this hope of glory, is because we have the revelation of Christ. Christ's been formed in us so that we hear the gospel. Look here now, verse 28. Whom we preach. You see that? Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Do you get tired of hearing me preach about Christ? I know you who find your assurance in knowing Christ, you don't get tired of hearing Christ preach. But those that are looking for assurance somewhere else, they get tired of hearing Christ preach. But this is who we preach. We preach Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect, mature, righteous, holy, sanctified. Where? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working. Christ in you, the hope of glory. His working, His being in me, His being with me, His being going forth in the Word. It's by His working, which worketh in me mightily. The full assurance of understanding. Now listen to this. This is what I mean by, there's believers truly saved who have assurance and don't realize they have assurance. Because the assurance of understanding, the full assurance of understanding, is Christ. Christ is the assurance of understanding. He's the assurance. Christ Himself. That's what you're taught when you are given an understanding. Christ is our assurance. Look down at Colossians 2 and verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where do I find this assurance of understanding? in whom, in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ Himself is the highest wisdom and the highest knowledge a man can ever find. Christ Himself, to know Christ Himself, that's the highest wisdom, the highest knowledge we can ever get on this earth. Because Scripture says, whom to know is life eternal. If you know Him, this understanding is not how much you know. It's not in what great system you know. It's in knowing Christ Himself. He's the assurance. Look down at verse 4. And why does Paul tell us this? Why is he saying to us that I want you to have the full assurance of understanding? I want you to hear the gospel. I want you to come to God who reveals it. And I want you to know that that God who reveals it, who we preach, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is he telling us this? Verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. What are these? Who's these any man he's talking about? He's talking about preachers. He's talking about preachers. There's a whole lot of preachers who preach things that will be much more enticing to a natural man, a naturally religious man, much more enticing to you than what I'm preaching to you. I realize that. The way they preach, the methods they use, the music they play, the programs they got, and the message they preach, it's all a lot more enticing to you, to a natural man. But look at this. Paul says, but though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness, being settled and grounded, being steadfast. I behold this. It's of your faith in Christ. You see that? They believed in Christ. And he said, as you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. These were folks who God had given them a heart. God had given them a willingness. God had revealed Christ in them. They had heard the gospel, and He had revealed the gospel that it's Christ. And they believed on Christ. They had received Christ, the gift of God given to them into their hearts irresistibly. They had received Him. And He said, and I behold your steadfastness that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, now, if you want full assurance of understanding, don't let these fellows coming down the pike take you off somewhere else and say, now this is where you're going to grow and get a lot more understanding. He says, as you therefore receive Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. Walk ye in Him. When God reveals Christ to us and makes us to know Christ, this is what the world teaches. They say this, but they don't do this. They say, you know, once in a blue moon, they might preach a message that has a little bit to do with Christ. And then they say, but you once you get the foundation and you understand Christ and you've repented from false works and this and that, then you move on past Christ. You gotta go on to other things to get more understanding and how to walk in this life and how to get by in this life and how to treat one another and all that. Brethren, everything we learn looking to Christ. Everything. And so he says, the same way that you started with Christ, you started there resting your hope in Him, trusting that He had redeemed you and put away your sin and that He was going to present you to God, you keep on going in Him, learning more of Him. Watch this now. He says, rooted and built up in Him. Rooted. There's where you start, isn't it? That's where how the plant starts, in the ground, rooted. And then it grows up. Well, he says you start out rooted in Him and you grow up in Him. You don't move from Him. Look, established in the faith, that is in Christ Himself, as you've been taught, abounding therein. Where? In Christ. Abounding in Christ with thanksgiving. Beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Paul sounds like a preacher that just preached Christ all the time, don't he? That's what he told the Corinthians. I was determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Look, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. men will say, oh, we want to learn about God. We want to know about God the Father. God the Father says, look at my son. We want to know about God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to bear witness of Christ. Christ said when he comes, he's not going to speak of himself. He's going to speak of me. In Christ is all the fullness of God. Anything you're going to learn about Christ, about God, everything you're going to learn about God is in Christ. That's where it's to be found. Everything you learn about how to walk in this world, our next message is going to be about a wife submitting to her husband. Where are we going to look to figure out how to do that? We're going to look to Christ. We're going to look to Christ. All right, look here. Now, here's the next thing. This full assurance of understanding is to hear Christ teach us in the gospel what he has accomplished for us. It's to know him and to hear him teach us what he's accomplished for us. He doesn't expect, faith's not blind. Faith, he doesn't expect you to believe him without giving you an understanding of what he's done for you. So he's going to teach his people what he's done for his people. Now look at this. First of all, verse 10, here's where it begins. This is the summation of everything right here that you're going to learn about Christ Jesus. If he's drawn you and taught you and given you faith to believe him, this is what you're going to learn. In every other detail you look at, this is the central thing you're learning about. Verse 10, you're complete in him. You're complete in him. The word complete and that word fullness of the Godhead bodily, they're the same word. As fully as Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that's how complete the believer is in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. We have assurance when we understand that we're complete in Christ. I got everything God needs, God requires in Christ. That's what I am in Christ. That's assurance. That's my assurance. All right, look at this. I have full assurance when I understand that the body of my sins, of my flesh, was put off by Christ, not by my hands. Look, verse 11. In whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's what he did on the cross. See, he's talking to believers who have professed to believe in Christ. That's why he can say this of a surety. Christ did this for you. He's not just speaking to everybody randomly that don't believe. He's speaking to believers. And he said, Christ did this already. Not by your hands, by his hands. Look, we have full assurance when we understand that Christ accomplished this for us when our old man was buried in Christ in the judgment and justice of God unto death, baptized in that fury of God's wrath and judgment and justice in death when Christ was baptized on the cross in that baptism. Look, buried with him in baptism. That's not talking about water baptism. That's when I was buried with him in the judgment of God. That he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with and how I'm straight until it be accomplished. That baptism. Look, this is assurance to know that my new man arose with Christ when Christ arose, when God raised him from the dead. Verse 12, wherein also, in Christ, you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who's raised him from the dead. That's assurance. Here's assurance to know that while we were dead in our sins, couldn't do a thing, God quickened us together with Christ, raised us up together with him, forgave us of all our trespasses, erased every charge that was against us, and even took that law that was barricading and blocking our way and our access to God, he took that out of the way, not abolishing it, not doing away with it, fulfilling it. Nailing it to his cross, he fulfilled it. Verse 13, you, being dead in your sins, the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Do you see this? Here's assurance. This is full assurance of understanding. Number one, I don't look to myself. I don't listen to men who are trying to point me to the law. I don't listen to men who are trying to point me away from Christ. Full assurance of understanding is to hear the truth preached in the gospel. That's where you're going to hear it. It pleased God to save by the foolishness of preaching. From the beginning to the end, that's how He's saving us. Keeps on teaching us this and giving us this understanding in our heart. Number two is to go to Christ, is to ask Christ, is to go to Him asking for the understanding, because it's God that reveals Christ, and He's God. Then number three is to believe Him when He declares to me what He's done for me, that I'm complete in Him. I'm complete in Him. I'm complete in Him. When He's your assurance, when you know Him, know Christ and Him crucified, know Him, know what He's done for you, it'll root you and settle you and ground you to where you can't be moved away. You cannot, these men can come talking all they want to talk about their philosophy and their traditions and their works and the touch not, taste not, handle not. I ain't hearing it. I found the pearl of great price. I found the one thing needful. And I've got full assurance in Christ my Lord. All right, now, we know this when we believe Him. He said, I want you to know this to the acknowledgement. There's some folks who, they're waiting. They're trying to have some kind of climactic experience or to have some great notion and some be filled with some kind of great feeling and say that I got assurance now. What happens when that leaves? Then your assurance will be gone. But if your assurance is Christ, this one who's done it, this one who's revealing it to you, this one who's keeping you not knowing and teaching you through the Word, now you've got full assurance. Now you've got lasting assurance. Now you've got assurance that can't be taken away. I want to show you some place this word is used. Turn to Luke 1. This will help us to understand. I'll show you how it's used as a verb. Luke 1. Christ is the one that gives this to us. Remember, John said, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we're in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. This is eternal life. That's how we know. Christ reveals. Now look. Look what how Luke used this same word, full assurance and he of understanding, and he used it as a verb. Verse 1, for as much as many have taken in their hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are, here's the word, most surely believed among us. That's the same word as full assurance of understanding. Most surely believed. This is what I'm talking about. Do you believe God? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe what you're hearing? Do you believe that Christ is salvation? Do you believe Christ is the one who's done all this just as He says He's done and that He's life eternal? When He gives you this assurance of understanding, you most surely believe. And you believe it as the declaration that's declared in the whole Scripture by all His witnesses that are declaring it to it according to the Scriptures. I'll show you another place. Look at Romans 4 and look at verse 20. I'm going to be done. I just want you to see this. Romans 4:20. This will help you understand the word too. Romans 4, verse 20. This is speaking about Abraham. When God came to Abraham, told Abraham that He was going to save him by grace through a seed that was kind of a child that would be born through Abraham. Look, verse 20 says, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Here's the word, being fully persuaded. That's translated from the same word, full assurance of understanding. He had a full assurance of understanding. Here's where his assurance was. Now watch this, that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. You see that? That's why he didn't stagger. He didn't oppose it. He didn't back away from it. He didn't waver between two opinions. It's because he wasn't looking to himself. He was half dead and Sarah was half dead. He wasn't looking to himself. He was fully persuaded that whatever God promised, God was able to do it. That's the full assurance of understanding. You see, to have the full assurance of understanding is to be persuaded what God's promised, that God's able to perform it. The point I'm trying to make to you is, it's not assurance in our understanding. Do you understand that? I'm not just splitting hairs. Some people are looking, thinking, I don't know if I know enough yet. Well, you're never going to know enough. We see through a glass dimly. If you look to how much you know, you're going to be disappointed, and you're not going to have any assurance. You just won't. Any place you look other than Christ, you're not going to find assurance. That's just plain and simple. Assurance is knowing God in Christ Jesus and believing that we're complete in Him. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Now, let me say this before I'm done. This is important to remember. I said to him again, a man can believe God and really believe God, be saved by God, and have this assurance. It's not how much faith you have. It's not the strength of your faith or the weakness of your faith. It's Christ who's the object of your faith. He is our assurance. Let me illustrate that for you. How that a man can have this assurance and not realize he's got it because he don't feel something and don't feel assured in himself. Usually you feel assured. I feel pretty assured about it, but I'm not looking at my feelings. I'm trusting that Him. You get what I'm saying? But let me illustrate it. Did you see a couple of weeks ago in the news where I laid down and got thinking about this, and I got about panic. God had a panic attack just thinking about it. I'm scared of heights. But some fellas was on that new World Trade Center about 8 floors from the top, cleaning the windows. And they were on one of those platform deals that lets down, you know, the brakes on it. You let it down on the chains that hang down. And the brake broke. And that one end of that thing just went straight down. And they slid all the way down to the end of it. And they're hanging there. 8 floors from the top. I don't know how tall that thing is, but it's tall. That's way up there. Well, the firefighters said it. They came there, and the first thing the firefighters did was they stabilized that platform they were on, that scaffolding they were on. They stabilized that with their own cables, so there wasn't any way that thing could fall. Well, their assurance that that thing wasn't going to fall was those cables that those firefighters put on there and secured on there so that they knew it's not falling. But do you think that those fellas in that platform had full assurance? They knew it was secured. The firefighters said it's secured. But do you think they had full assurance that I'm not going to fall? This thing's not going to fall? No. Would you? I wouldn't have. But even though they didn't have full assurance, that wasn't their assurance they weren't going to fall. Those cables were their assurance they weren't going to fall. And then the firefighters, they went to those new windows. You can't open those windows up. So they just cut out a big hole in one of those windows right there level with them. And the first thing they did was they reached out there and gave them harnesses and had both those fellas put those harnesses on, and they had those harnesses fastened inside. There's no way. They're fastened, their platform's secure now, and they're secure with those harnesses on, tethered to something inside. There's no way they're going to fall. You think they got assurance yet? They're still out there dangling on that platform. But whether they felt like they had assurance or they didn't, that wasn't their assurance. Their assurance was that harness that was holding them. But when they had assurance was when they got inside there and realized it's done. I'm off of that little dangling ledge out there now. I'm in here safe on the ground. We're going to have full assurance when we get into glory with Him. But right now, even though we don't feel it or don't know it, or whether we sometimes do know it, that's not our assurance, brethren. Christ who's got us secure. He's our assurance. You understand? So a man can be saved, and I realize that his assurance is not anywhere else but Christ. I mean, he's looking in the wrong place and trying to look at a feeling, and yet God saved him. He just don't see very clearly, don't see very fully. So you don't try to make somebody that's already weak weaker by saying, well, you don't know the Lord. They might. But their assurance is Him anyway. And the Lord will teach them that. All right, let's stand together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray now that You will, by Your grace, give us that assurance to know that Christ in Him alone is our security and our safety and our full assurance. Make us to know Him. Make us to walk in Him, look to Him, not look anywhere else. Lord, we ask it in Christ's name for Your honor and glory. Amen.